Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. I have a new friend today. If not, this is our first time meeting, and I'm excited to hear more about him. Mark Gutman, thank you so much for making time to be with us today.
Sharon, thank you so much for having me, and I love that we're new friends. That's a great way to frame it.
That's right. The kickoff of a new relationship. So Mark is the founder, brand strategist, and chief storyteller at Wild Story. And I love his background, and I'm going to have him tell it so that I don't have to read off the script. But there's a line in your suggested introduction that I think is so perfect that I really want to highlight, and that is that you blend storytelling, psychology, and design to help brands outmaneuver their competition. And I think so many times people focus in one of those areas, what the brand looks like, or telling their story, but it's really the combination of bringing that all together, because your storytelling includes visuals as well as the actual contents of the story. So Mark, I'd love to hear how you got started. Share a little bit about Little Mark and how you got into this incredible field, because you have such an incredible background. Please share it.
Well, thanks, Sharon. And you're right. And well, I'm sure we'll get to this a little later today, but it was a long, hard lesson for me to realize that it was all those things that encompass your story and your brand, not just one of them. And I'm sure we'll get there. But Little Mark grew up in suburban Detroit. And I'd like to say that, while it was a great childhood, never seemed like much ever really happened. And so I was really fascinated with movies, and my whole context, my whole lens for seeing the world really came through movies. It was also a way that my father and I really connected. We used to just really bond over movies. In addition, at that time, print media was a really big thing, like magazines. And I used to pore over all sorts of different magazines. A lot of them were magazines like Thrasher, skateboard magazines, things like that, that really glorified California and really had, now I know, painted a great brand or a great story of California. And so when I left college, all my friends were becoming investment bankers and doctors and kind of going down these more traditional paths. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I loved movies, so I packed up my rusty Oldsmobile, because when you're from Detroit, everybody has a rusty Oldsmobile sedan, and about $1,000. And I drove out to California, no leads, no nothing, and just started knocking on doors. And one thing led to another, and I got a job driving film around for Disney. And outside of the fact of that, I got to meet Ellen DeGeneres, because it was a Epcot project, and that was pretty neat, walking right in the first day on the job and meeting Ellen DeGeneres really quickly. I had an all-access pass to the Disney lot because I was driving these huge canisters of film around, and I was popping my head in and as the ambitious young Mark would do, and trying to make friends and just asking different producers, hey, like, where do I need to go to become a writer? How do I do this? And one of those producers took a liking to me, and we'd have regular afternoon sessions where I would just chat with them. And one day, in a very movie-like moment, passed a piece of paper across the desk and said, call this number. And that happened to be Oliver Stone and his production company. And I was fortunate to fall into a role there as his story editor. And that's, I would say the combination of taking some screenwriting classes in college, but really that was my crash course in storytelling. That's where I really learned so, so much. And just kind of took a lot of lumps. I thought I was going to get fired every day. It was pretty high pressure environment. But I learned and I stuck it out. He eventually hired me to write a couple screenplays that were unproduced, and I went on to work on a couple animation movies at Warner Brothers. And that also was this amazing experience in learning about storytelling, because it would live on the wall and it would live over the course of a year or two. And so you would really look at each and every scene, each and every beat, and beat it down and beat it down. When I was young, and I had done that for about 8 or 9 years, and came out to Colorado, where I live now, to take a break. And there was this amazing thing happening, and that was way cooler to me than the movies. There was these entrepreneurs, these business owners, the startup community. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, these people are super cool. And so I started getting involved in that. I actually started a tech business that was very much like what we're on today on Zoom. It was a reseller of collaboration services. And that business took off. It did great. I've since sold it. It turned out to be good for me. We can talk about it. But I was always missing the storytelling aspect. And other business owners would come up to me and say, Mark, you're in the movie business. Can you help me tell my story? And I was like, yeah, I could do that. And then we'd start working on it. We'd both be really unhappy because what you alluded to in the beginning of the show, neither of us had this real clear idea of what that meant. There wasn't really a shared definition, and I didn't know what it meant. And so, you know, in that previous business, I was really naturally good at branding and marketing, but I wanted to know more. So I started consuming every book, every course, going to friends that were in the field and just learning and filling my cup. And, you know, and then starting to work with other businesses and other business owners to tell this story and understanding, it took me a really hard time to understand that there's like story structure and format, like I learned in the movie business. And then there's storytelling for business, which follows some of the same constructs. It can follow some of this hero's journey stuff, but it's not always this really tight kind of cinematic story. And that took me a really long time to understand, because everybody is like, well, I'm telling a story on Instagram, or I'm telling a story in my email chains. And yeah, you know, you are sometimes, but it took me a long time to learn that. So over the years, I just learned that this is what I really love, because it blends this idea of storytelling and building businesses. And that's what I'm really all about. And if there's one thing that everyone listening, I just want you to know, is that branding and brand storytelling and all this brand strategy stuff, it's about selling. It's about building a business. It's not about logos. It's not about design. I mean, those are things that we do to help communicate our story. And that's just one part of the storytelling, but it's not everything. And brand strategy is all about selling. And so that's how I got here. And, you know, as you mentioned, I'm the founder and head strategist here at Wild Story. We're a brand strategy studio. We also do design work and execution on storytelling elements like brand films, content, things of that nature.
It's so important. And I always say successful businesses do one of two things: solve a problem or serve a need. And it's the ability to communicate that to the customers you already have, but also to those that you want. And it's so important. And as you talk about storyboards on the wall for movies, you have to, if your message isn't going to land with a potential customer, you're not going to get that customer. So it's really important that your story align with what their needs are and what their wants are. And I think that to be able to combine that with the concept of building the brand, and the logo needs to rhyme, it needs to be authentic, it needs to be compatible and consistent, but getting the story right and that messaging. And I think you're right. The messaging, it can be, needs to be slightly different given the audience and the delivery method. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. I mean, the story is completely dependent on who your audience is. I mean, we can look at this in different ways. We can look at it from the lens of Hollywood, and you look at the different audiences. You have youth and kid audiences for different types of content. You have people that love horror films. You have people that love comedies. You have people that love drama, and you have people that love rom-com. Those are all different audiences. Sometimes they overlap, but for, you know, they're all different audiences, and the way you deliver that is different. And here's the thing: it's a construct. It's a framework that's expected by that audience. And so, really thinking about what does your audience expect. And you said something, Sharon, that was really interesting to me, that, you know, we are these constant storytelling machines as human beings, and we're always telling ourselves stories. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. You know, Lord knows I've got enough bad stories that I tell myself, or, you know,
don't we all?
Right? Yeah. But we're constantly telling ourselves stories. And so if you have a product or service, I don't care what it is, someone is telling themselves a story about that. And whether they need it, whether they don't, how it's going to make them feel, how it's going to make them look, how it's going to make them a better father, a better mother, a better partner, how it's going to make them feel successful, how it's going to make them feel confident. The list is endless. We could, you know, go on and on and on.
Well, I love one of the topics that you have included in your information here is how to find your brand rallying cry. So let's hear your thoughts on that. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. And look, we're living in what I call the age of ubiquity. I don't care what your brand, product, or service is. You know, even if you're first, you only have so long before someone can reverse engineer and knock you off. I'm seeing it all the time. My favorite products will come out, and then Amazon will reverse engineer it and you know, sell it for a fraction of the cost. It looks exactly the same. The only thing that you can really own is that thing that makes you special. It's that purpose. It's that belief. It's your mission, your vision, your values, the foundation of your brand, why you get up in the morning and you're in business beyond making money. And I'll just pause right there because we are in business to make money. Most of our businesses are not .orgs. I am not wildstory.org. I am wildstory.com for commerce. I'm here to make money. But we're living in an age where we're just expecting, as consumers, way more from the brands we interact with. I mean, we're not so much buying them, we're joining them.
Yeah,
we're aligning.
I love that.
Them.
I love that. We're not buying them. We're aligning with them. I love it.
We are, right, and we're joining their community. We're becoming that they become a part of us. And so, when I think about, you know, what is the rallying cry, it's really tapping into what makes you special. What's your purpose beyond making money, and why you come into work? And one way you could do that, little tactical takeaway, is a lot of times we work with brands and we have them write their obituary of the brand 25 years into the future. And, you know, some people get hung up on obituary. If you don't like the idea that your business is going to die in 25 years or not be around, write an anthem. But think back to everything that your brand has accomplished, what it's done for its employees, for its community. Most importantly, what value have you delivered for your customers? And write that in a narrative form and write that as a story. And out of that will come these little nuggets. And a lot of times you can even write what we call a manifesto out of that. And these little nuggets will you can just highlight and find them about what do you stand for? Who are you? And what can you rally around that gets you excited in the morning? Because, you know, we all have highs and lows as entrepreneurs. This is a hard road to toe. You need something more than just selling a product or a service.
That's for sure. And I love this. You've already probably said quite a few of them, but you have something where you talk about the 7 questions every brand should answer. You want to hit through those for us so that we can, people take notes. Make sure you rewind and take notes because Mark's delivering gold. Mic drops every moment. So.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. I'm going to try to do this from memory. Let's see if I can do this because sevens. I'm pretty sure I know them, but and I won't do them in specific order. But why are we here, right? Who do we serve? What do we do and how? What is our personality? What do we believe in value? What's our vision for the future? And I believe the 7th is what's our backstory? We really want to know how we got here and what we're doing. And if you can answer those 7 questions, which are simple questions now, you know, I spend a lot of time with clients in rooms, days upon days answering those questions. So they're not always easy to answer, but they're easy to understand and they're simple to go through. And those are the questions you need to be answering yourself. Some of them sometimes are really quick, you know, like what do we do and how? That's kind of a nuts and bolts kind of question. That shouldn't, you know, take a ton of time, but like the why we are here, and that's usually where we start with most brands, that that can take some time, but once you land on that, that everything ladders from there.
We go through that a similar process when we onboard new clients, and it really is, you know, people think they're clear on what they do until you start asking those specific questions, and then they start losing clarity, and it helps them bring things back into focus, particularly if they've been in business for a while and they start kind of like diluting what they're doing because shiny object syndromes, and this kind of helps bring them back into focus on what their brand is and why they're doing what they're doing. So I think that's such an incredibly good exercise for people to do on a regular basis, not just once and one and done. You have to kind of review it on a regular basis, don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, and that's a great point, Sharon, because this is why I believe like brand and brand strategy is so misunderstood. We certainly as brand practitioners and marketers, we're not doing ourselves any favors because we're not out there giving a clear definition, but it's also has changed and fairly quickly. You know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you would work on your brand. It was a one and done, and maybe you would update it. And, you know, 20 years later, 10 years later, but that was even more of like a visual refresh. It wasn't back to your values or who are you as an organization or what do you stand for? And now the world is just moving so fast. And I like to think of it like you have this, like almost like these kind of orbits that are working like this together. And you have your brand that's moving at a pace, and you have the world and what makes you relevant moving at a certain pace. And it's always this trick of getting them to line up. If you imagine like these little kind of like alignment dots, right? Like how do we get those to line up? But then all of a sudden you think, oh, I got this perfect and something shifts, you know, and then you're off kilter. You're not as relevant, or your message is inappropriate, or there's something going on in the world that you couldn't have foreseen. You know,
or your delivery method has become antiquated. So you have to like get with the program and start, using more modern techniques to serve your people. So as all of those come, as you said, you have to align your company with how best to deliver the message to the people who need it. Right.
That's such a great point, Sharon. I mean, when you think about sustainability, you know, I've been a fan of sustainability for as long as I can remember. I mean, literally since I was a kid. But it's only late, like, but 25 years ago, if you were talking about, say, sustainability, you were ahead of, like, no one really, like, you were just too early to the party. Now, if you're not talking about sustainability, you're too late to the party. And that's just, nothing's changed about sustainability. That whole idea hasn't changed. What's changed is the worldview, the perspective, the generations. And that's what makes us really fun, too, you know, and that's what makes it exciting. It's that the world is always changing, and we need to change with it.
I have a similar story in the fact that when we first launched Rich Dad, a couple of years into it, Warner Books, who was our publisher, they launched a real effort in eBooks, and it was a failure because the world wasn't ready for them yet. And I look back today and I look at the number of eBooks that are out there and I go, wow, it was before its time, and yet it was the early adopters they became popular in Philadelphia and New York, where there were commuting trains, right? And but it really did not establish itself and grow roots for many, probably 5 to 10 years later. So, but again, you got to try and make sure that you're on the forefront of the wave, not behind, not overcome by it, right?
Oh, totally. And I love that story. It's like, I can't even imagine like thinking like, you know, we were too early to the ebook party. And I remember like when mobile was hot and I was like, there's no way people are going to be like consuming movies and reading all their books on their mobile device. I just didn't see it. I had grown up on a big screen. I liked the big screen, you know, at least on a computer or a laptop like we're on right now. And I just didn't see it. But you know what? Here we are, and this is the way people.
That's and now, right. I'm even and who knows? I mean, I still remember. You're too young for this, but the first fax machine. I thought this was the invention of my lifetime, and I was a very early user of fax machines, communicating with the Orient when I was doing talking children's books. And of course, like today, we don't even have a fax machine anymore. So it's crazy to see how time changes, and we have to be willing to be old dogs learning new tricks to keep relevant and keep moving forward. So Mark, you have a wealth of information and support. People that want to learn more about Mark and your company, how can they find you?
Yeah, thanks, Sharon. There's two ways that it's really easy. I've made it really easy. You can go directly to our website at wildstory.com, or if you'd like to dive a little deeper, you can go to wildstory.com/goodstuff. That's where all the good stuff is, wildstory.com/good stuff. I have ways you can connect with me on social media. You can drop me a line. I also have a podcast called the Baby Got Backstory podcast, if you'd like to listen to that, where we talk to different business founders and go through the success of how they built their brand, as well as we have a free health audit on there. And I typically have show specials and things like that if people want to engage with us on some sort of level. So great place to go, wildstory.com/good stuff, and you can connect with me.
I love that. That's great. Good stuff. I love it. I'll check it out and we'll make sure we put it in the show notes. And Mark, you're going to hang out with me because we're going to do another recording for the private Facebook group. So for those of you watching and listening, rewind, because this was just incredible information in a very short time, very brand specific, and support you in creating a stronger and more effective brand that not just promotes what you do, but increases the bottom line. So make sure you listen to Mark and study his information, and go, if you're not part of the private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement, please join it so you can hear more from Mark. And thank you so much. You are fabulous. Have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.